You're listening to the Pre-Hospital Diary Podcasts with your host, Kai.
Hey guys, I'm back again. It's been a little while. Taking on some feedback and changing a few things. You know, when I created this podcast, I sort of wanted it to be towards student paramedics, but I feel like I veered away from that a little bit, and we're going to bring that in back now, and that's sort of what we're going to be targeting. I also want to target some shorter episodes. I know myself that I struggle to listen to podcasts that are 30 to 40 minutes. You feel like they just go on for too long. So we're going to be changing a few things and hopefully back for good. So this topic today will be quite interesting. It's just myself talking today. We're going to be talking about heart blocks. I want to be talking about what they are. I want to be talking about the signs and symptoms, ECG interpretation, and our treatment and management of heart blocks. So first of all, a heart block refers to a disruption of a block in the normal electrical conduction pathway of the heart. So we know the normal electrical conduction of the heart starts at the SA node, it comes down into the AV node, where it comes down even further through the bundle of His and right to the right and left bundles and to the Purkinje fibers where we get the electrical conduction. So basically any disruption in that is going to cause a heart block and most likely cause symptoms. So when we talk about heart blocks, we talk about two distinct groups. So there are atrioventricular blocks, which we'll be talking about today, which are known as AV blocks. So they occur at the AV node or within the bundle of His. There's also vesicular blocks. Now, vesicular blocks occur below the AV node in the electrical pathways within the ventricles and cause intraventricular conduction abnormalities. So we're not going to be talking about vesicular blocks today. We're just going to be covering AV blocks. So let's get into AV blocks. So as we said before, AV blocks are damage to the AV node and bundle of His, and they can be identified by interpreting the relationship between the P waves and the QRS complexes. So there's three types of AV blocks. We've got a first degree AV block, we've got a second degree AV block, type 1 and type 2, and we've also got a third degree AV block, which is also known as a complete heart block. So clinical presentation will vary depending on which block there is. So usually first degree is usually asymptomatic, and then these symptoms will vary depending on what block you have. So someone with a third degree is going to be much more sick than someone who has a first degree, okay? So basically, the more severe the bradycardia is, the more cardiac output will be negatively affected, producing hemodynamic instability. So AV blocks are progressive in nature. So first can lead to second can lead to third, and third degree always carries a risk of deterioration and ventricular standstill, which may even turn into asystole. So now I want to cover a couple of the causes of the AV block. So there are quite a lot of causes. Risk of occurrence increases with age. There's fibrosis of the conduction pathways. Fibrosis just means hardening and scarring of the conduction pathways. Acute myocardial ischemia due to a decreased blood supply. So for example, an inferior MI. Increased vagal tone, another cause. Aortic stenosis, cardiomyopathy, hypoxia, acidosis, and also many medications. Now, the medications that can cause it are beta blockers, so like beta blockers like prasoprolol, metoprolol, and propranolol, so all the alols. Your calcium channel blockers like amlodipine and nifedipine, diltiazem and verapamil, and like a digoxin may also cause a heart block. So many causes to think about when we come to this patient and this patient presents. So let's talk a little bit about the management now, just general management of heart blocks. So basically, what we're going to be doing is attempting to identify the underlying cause. So there's always going to be a cause that someone is bradycardic, and we always want to try to remove that cause. Therefore, we can fix that up. Also going to use atropine if needed. If any signs of symptomatic bradycardia, we'll refer to our guidelines and use atropine. It would be monitor for deterioration, very likely with a second degree type 2 or a complete heart block. So basically our management principles are to find the cause of the bradycardia, find the cause of the heart block, see if we can counter that cause. Atropine therapy, if there's any signs of decreased cardiac output, and monitor for any signs of deterioration. Okay. So now let's go into a first degree AV block. Now this is probably the least worrying of all heart blocks. It can be very common in the elderly. So basically how we're going to identify a first degree AV block is a consistently prolonged PR interval causing a short delay in atrial to ventricular contraction. So asymptomatic, as I said, in most patients, and it may have an underlying cause that needs to be investigated. So basically consistently prolonged PR interval without any dropped beats. So have a look it up here. PR interval is very important for heart blocks. So second degree AV blocks, I want to talk a little bit about the clinical presentation. So in acute cases, there will be the signs and symptoms of the underlying cause. So for example, the hypoxia or the MI, things like that. So if the ventricular rate is bradycardic, cardiac output may be decreased, causing cardiogenic shock. The patient may present with pale, cold, and clammy skin, hypotension, weak absent peripheral pulses, and delayed capillary fill time. Patient will present with tachypnea, dizziness, and an altered level of consciousness. So I want to talk a little bit about the ECG interpretation of a second degree type 1. And I've always remembered there's two types. So there's second degree type 1, second degree type 2. So I've always remembered it with this little saying. They're called MOBITs. That's what the blocks are called. That's who sort of found the blocks. So MOBITs, I think. So P's on the run, it's MOBITs type 1. P's remains true, it's MOBITs type 2. So let's dive into that a little more and let's discuss what P's on the run means. So a second degree type 1 heart block is a PR interval becomes longer every beat before conduction fails to pass the AV node. So you're going to see probably a normal PR interval become prolonged in the next beat and even more prolonged in the next beat, and then you're going to be missing a QRS. And then it's going to repeat that. It's usually in a sort of rhythm. Okay, so yeah, so prolonged PRs, like further prolonging, and then a drop beat. We're going to be thinking, okay, this is probably second degree type 1. We've also got to consider with our second degree heart blocks that they can change, they can sort of alternate between type 1 and type 2. Type 2 being more dangerous. So I want to talk a little bit about the type 2, second degree type 2 block. Similar in the second degree type 1 that it does drop a QRS, however the PR intervals are always constant and the same. So therefore we're getting the same PR interval and then we're going to have a dropped QRS. Now often these will present in a pattern. So there is a ratio we can use which is P waves to QRS complexes. So for example, if the SA node is firing at 90 beats per minute, but conduction only gets through the AV node every third P wave, it would create a 3-to-1 ratio. So this would actually decrease the ventricular rate to 30 beats per minute because it's only getting through every third P wave. So we have an SA node that's firing at 90 beats per minute, but we have a dysfunctional AV node that's not letting anything through and only letting every third conduction through. Therefore, we've only got an actual perfusing rate of 30 beats per minute. So you can see how this is quite dangerous. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the third degree AV block now. So let's talk a little bit about the clinical presentation. So this is going to be signs of hypoperfusion and cardiogenic shock. This patient's going to be very sick. They're most likely going to be hypotensive. They're going to have an altered mental state, absent peripheral pulses, dizziness, loss of consciousness, anxiety, and tachypnea. Now, ECG identification with a third degree AV block, it can be difficult. But basically what we need to think is AV disassociation, okay? So there is absolutely no relationship between the P waves and the QRS. Now, if you go on Google and search up some complete heart blocks, you'll know what I mean. The P waves and QRSs are not communicating because no conductions are getting through that AV node. Therefore, we call it a complete heart block. So the only ventricular activity that is occurring will either be from a ventricular escape rhythm or a junctional escape rhythm. So the ventricular escape rhythm causes the QRS to be wired, as coming from the ventricles is the last resort. junctional escape rhythm causes the QRS to be more narrow because it's happening at the AV junction. So, yeah, we've got the P waves, they're coming to the AV node, they're not getting through the AV node, therefore we're going to go into a ventricular escape rhythm most likely, and there's going to be no communication between both. So very, very scary rhythm. This patient needs to be transported to hospital immediately. Well, thank you guys for listening. I know it was a short episode, but I seem to like these shorter episodes. Let me know what you think, and we'll be back for the next soon. Thanks.